I'm a bit of an outlier here because I am not a soil scientist, I'm not a geologist, and I've never had a soil science course. However, I am a chemist, and we do have a lot of students in from agriculture in our courses. So I want to talk to you a bit about how Dr. Marcy Towns, my colleague, and myself have started trying to help these agricultural students understand chemistry from their perspective, not just from our own. So to give you an idea, Purdue University has a huge number of students that come through our freshman chemistry courses every year. In the fall alone, we have over 4,000 students that come through the course. The majority, or various courses, the majority of those students are from the College of Science and the College of Engineering. And then the next largest group of students are the Chemistry 111 students in the fall, and those come from the College of Agriculture and the College of Health and Human Sciences. Now, traditionally, and this is still the case, chemistry courses are taught by chemists for people who should want to learn chemistry, right? So everything that a chemist thinks is important is what we want to teach. And everyone else should be excited about that. At least that's the traditional way of looking at things. Many people in chemistry still believe, I think, that if we try to make the courses relevant and we try to teach at a level that is not full bore chemistry, that we're dumbing the courses down. And it's really difficult, as Melinda said earlier this morning, it's very difficult for someone who's a scientist in a specific pure science like chemistry to think about what kind of things can we bring into the course to make it relevant for our audience. So it takes a lot of work on our part, and it's easier not to do that. What happens then is the non-science majors, which is what this this Chemistry 111 course is, non-science majors struggle through a course that seems incredibly difficult and totally irrelevant for the most part for them. It's just something their advisor told them they had to take. Now, at Purdue University in the Department of Chemistry, we have, most of us at least, have a mission. And in general chemistry, this is pretty much very true. So obviously we want to teach chemistry. We want to connect laboratory skills, conceptual understanding, and problem solving with these students. But we have a lot of different majors coming through our courses. They're the gateway science courses for a lot of majors. And we really want to nurture these students, get them to have an appreciation for the science, but also understand why the science is important to their major. So my colleague Marcy Towns and I revised this course, Chemistry 111, starting in the fall of 2012. This course, about 60 to 70% of the students in the course come from either the College of Agriculture or the College of Health and Human Sciences. There are about 800 to 900 students in the course that spread out over two large lecture sessions and one small session. And for many of these students, it may very well be the first chemistry course they've ever had. So we have a lot of challenges. We had met with, over the years, people from the Department of Agriculture and talked with them about the courses, but we hadn't really done much work before 2012 trying to revise the course. And when we decided to do that, we thought we need, you know, we're providing a service to this department. We need to find out, what do these people want? What do you want your students to learn? What do you want them to be able to do once they come out of our courses? Those are the questions that we asked, which seemed very simple and very basic. And then we set about trying to make that happen. So what we decided was we wanted to introduce relevance into the course. It's not just a pure science course. It's a science course that has a reason why these students are trying to learn it. So one of the things we did was we made some changes in the laboratory, with relevance being the main idea. Since many of these students have not had a chemistry course before, and even if they have, a lot of our students from some surveys that we've taken have not had much, if any, laboratory work in their high schools. So we decided the first thing to do is to teach them about what they need to do in the laboratory, the mechanics of what they have to do. So train them how to use balances. I mean, it seems simple to us as chemists, and oh, everybody can use a balance. But we need to train them how to use the equipment so they can make sense of the data they're getting. Show them how to measure volumes of liquids, how to filter samples, what the glassware is used for, and how accurate one piece of glassware is versus another. Then we went on and we developed over the course of the last 3 years a number of new labs or just added relevance to old labs that would be helpful for health and human science majors, some of which are nutrition majors, for instance, some nursing, and then also the agricultural majors. So one of the labs we started doing is an isolation of fat lab, where the students take Lay's potato chips and they take Oreo cookies and they smash them and they get the fat from them and then they learn something from that. They determine their percent recovery of fat based on the back of the package, which tells them what the nutritional information should be. We also do an analysis of wine lab, which is coming up actually in a couple of weeks, where they, amongst other things, determine the pH of a sample of wine, and it's really yucky boxed wine, but still. And so these come from user literature, Journal of Chemical Education mostly. We had an electrolytes lab that we had were already doing, and we decided to include soil samples in that lab. So the students can bring in their own soil samples if they want, or we provide them with soil samples, and they then use the soil samples and look at conductivity of the soil samples along with some sports drinks and some other things. Another lab that we have just recently put into play is the determining calcium in hard water lab. And at Purdue University, the water is incredibly hard. It pretty much stands up by itself. And so they really learn a lot about the kind of water that we have in the area. Now, we've tried to introduce relevance in lecture as well. So during this revision, we're still teaching chemistry. We're still teaching about ions. We're still teaching about oxidation-reduction reactions, but we're trying to bring in a lot of examples from their major. Compounds of relevance, in particular, when we're talking about ionic compounds for agricultural majors, we bring up the idea of the various compounds that are present in fertilizer, the ions that are present. We also bring into play concentration units that general chemistry courses often don't talk about, parts per million, because of water samples, soil samples, where there are contaminants, parts per million is often being used as a unit. We talk about heat capacity and specific heat in our thermodynamics or our thermochemistry section, and we use water and soil as some of our examples, and then the previous example soil and conduction lab, or the conductivity that we did with the soil samples. So here's an example of a picture that we show in lab, that are in lecture rather, where we talk about oxidation reduction reactions and why they matter in soil chemistry. So we tell the students that they will learn that microorganisms drive the redox reaction and how nitrogen in ammonia or ammonium ion is going to be oxidized as it goes through its travels to nitrate ion. We also show them this picture from a farm in Indiana talking about heat capacity of soil and how the water content of soil will make a difference as to how quickly or slowly the soil will heat up. The other thing that we try to do is we tried to bring in to the formative assessment area a lot of active learning, because these students are different from traditional science students in many ways. They're much more creative. They're much more, a chemistry major is happy to sit by himself and just do his work. These students like to talk to each other, so let's let them talk to each other. Let's have a lot of classroom discussion. So we tried to scaffold their learning with a lot of in-class discussion and in-class problem solving. It helps to personalize the large lectures, and it gives the students some one-on-one interaction with the instructor, even in a 400-person classroom. So here's my colleague, Dr. Marcy Towns. She's introducing an example problem that the students are going to be working on. The students, we encourage them to talk to each other. While they're talking to each other and working a problem, both myself in my lectures and Dr. Towns will walk around the classroom. So this is a two-story lecture hall with a balcony. So we always have teaching assistants available in the classroom. We all walk around. We talk one-on-one with the students. We have a teaching assistant located in the balcony as well. And we help them, because many of them were very intimidated to come to office hours. They were afraid to take chemistry to begin with. And I always ask that question first day. Who was afraid to walk into this building? Who's afraid to be here? A third of the hands go up. So we want to make them comfortable, because being comfortable is going to help them learn the science and going to help them see, hopefully, the relevance of the science. We use also a number of multimedia technologies in the classroom. One of the ones that we really are enjoying is Piazza, which is a free question and answer platform online that helps facilitate online discussions. Student has a question at midnight about a homework problem. Usually either myself or Dr. Towns or one of the teaching assistants is on it answering it if another student doesn't get to it first. So it gives the students a lot of immediate feedback. Now, does this work? Well, some of the data we've collected over the semesters from fall 2004 to fall 2014, the DFW rates earlier on were pretty abysmal. A lot of students were either failing or dropping out of the course, to the point where we heard rumors that the Department of Agriculture, in many cases, are saying, you could take the course at the community college, it's okay. It was hard. It was taught like a traditional course. So things got a little bit better. We started thinking about this, but still not as great as it could be. After we started revising the course, we've seen a huge decrease in the DFW rate, and we have lots of comments from students. So I think this is really telling about how successful it is. These are, except for the very last one, which was a verbal comment, these are just a few of the comments that I have gotten from my course evaluations over the last couple of years. Students who were terrified to take a chemistry course, they didn't want to be there, they're putting this course off until their senior year, in some cases their last semester, which is a really scary thing if they're worried about failing the course. And they're coming back and they're saying, hey, it really wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, you made it much simpler than we expected because you explained it. People really like us walking around the course. They think classroom, they think a 400-person lecture suddenly seems very personal. And this one female student, first lecture this fall in my class, as I was talking, I said, here are the reasons why you're going to be learning chemistry. And I mentioned turf grass because one of the books that Dr. Towns and I both got, after talking to the people in the Department of Agriculture, was the book that they teach a turf grass course from. And we read through that book, and there's chemistry everywhere. And I mentioned this, and I said, there's chemistry. You're going to be seeing it a lot. And this one woman came up to me after lecture, and she said, I didn't want to be here, but you said the words turf grass, and I'm hooked. And I'm interested. I'm waiting to see what's going to happen. So we've been really, really pleased about the students' response. So we really appreciate the fact that we were invited to talk here. We feel like we are in partnership with not only the Department of Health and Human Sciences at Purdue, but also the Department of Agriculture. And I'm about to embark on the second semester course, which is Chemistry 112, and I'm going to be making a lot of changes to that starting next semester. So thanks a lot, and I guess we'll take questions at the end if that's what you want.
We have time for one.
Do we?
One question.
I actually, oh, yes.
Okay,
the pre-med students are not required to take this class. The pre-med students take the larger, what we consider the engineering course, but it's basically engineering, other science majors besides chemistry, and that would include the pre-med students. At Purdue, we don't have a huge pre-med population because we don't personally have the medical school, but we do have some, and they do take that course. Thank you.
Thanks, Cindy.